The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome to Tech, podcast number 353. I'm Jared Reimer. Welcome to National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. How has your security been this year? We talk about passwords. We talk about identity. We talk about various breaches throughout these podcasts. But have you ever talked about protecting yourself from identity theft in the coronavirus age? We'll have segments on this on the security box, but I have a segment talking about an article and a very good one at best to start off this podcast. People had been complaining about KNFB readers integration into Newsline. I call this KNFB reader and its new redesign. But it should be Newsline and its redesign with a slimmed down version of KNFB Reader, which seems to work quite well. And I don't find anything wrong with its interface. In a change of tactics, Michael in Tennessee taught me something rather cool. Bluetooth and the Google product and how I connected it with my iPhone, and it works quite well. While I tried to demo the repairing of it, didn't quite go the way that I expected it because it already knew about it. But I gave you the general idea of how it works, and you heard notifications as we talked. It's a very interesting way to use your phone. You can read using a different speaker, voiceover, and the whole bit. Very fascinating stuff. And finally, on this podcast, we talked about this on the security box. But for this podcast, I give you a short rendition of this APWG article by Fish Labs. The SSL or TLS renditions of what is happening in the threat landscape. And maybe we should really think about how we can keep ourselves secure. I didn't talk about that aspect, but I did talk about the article where it talks about a very staggering statistic. My contact information is at the end of the program, as it always is. But for quick reference, email iMessage tech, T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. And I look forward to hearing from you in regards to the topics of this podcast. And we'll bring out some topics as NCSAM, National Cyber Security Awareness Month, continues. Between this podcast and the security box, we'll have a bunch to talk about. Until next Tech Podcast, I will see you all next time. Welcome to podcast 353 of the Technology Podcast. This month is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Did you know that if you haven't changed your password habits, you might be at risk now more than ever? There's an article out that we are going to cover in some detail for the security box, the supplemental security program across the network. I will have plenty more over there, but I do want to pass along some information that I think we should at least cover in brief for this podcast. You can find the article Identity Fraud: How to Protect Your Identity Data and Accounts During the COVID-19 Crisis. As you know, it is definitely still COVID-19. The thinking was that we would be able to resume our life come summer because it was warm. California especially is in fire season, and there's no shortage of fires. My weather board at board 242 on Livewire recently had a segment on why the fires are so devastating now. Part of that is that old trees are not removed, and if pieces break off, they sort of sit there. And when a fire breaks out, whether it's man-made or arson or any other way, it produces fuel. Well, we don't know what fueled COVID-19, but we do know that it has become a problem, and a lot of us are still indoors. Because of that, actors know this, and without going into a lot of detail, I'll cover the 8 items for ways to attackers to get your data. And these are main ones. The first one is phishing. Phishing is usually aimed at stealing your information, but instead of stealing your information in one way, in regards to usernames and login information, they're going to try and get at other information. This usually happens by email, but now they're using other methods such as text messaging, web, or even phone. $667 million was lost to imposter scams in 2019 alone, according to the article. This was reported to the FTC, the United States arm for law enforcement. Malicious apps for mobile applications can go in many different ways. They can be acting like your regular games, such as Dice World, or any other app that you might be looking for. While I would hope that there isn't an imposter app like Dice World, I'm using their name here because a lot of the blind community know Dice World by name. You search Dice World and you only find one option, at least for now. But there may be imposter apps that will look to do other things but may look similar to what Dice World. If you overshare your information, such as pet names, birth dates, etc., it could be used by fraudsters to access your accounts. This is called eavesdropping on social media. Public Wi-Fi eavesdropping. On a Wi-Fi connection that's public, you might be at risk now more than ever, just because of the fact that you are doing your basic surfing without having any idea of who's around you. One of the things that really caught my attention was dumpster diving. As I discussed on the security box, the old method of going into the trash looking for personal information is still out there today. It may not be as prevalent as being online. I would do my best to make sure if you got personal information, if you had a shredder, shred it. Just because of the fact that it would be a lot harder to get at that data. Just ripping a piece of paper, you can glue it back together and all of that. I try to recycle all of that, put everything in an envelope, and then put it in a bag. With all the recycling that's in that bag, it's going to be a lot harder to get at it, even if they do get at the bag, you know? It's all in a whole bunch of other recycling stuff. So maybe it may not be such a good idea for them. You know, my soda cans, my water cans, anything I drink can-wise goes into there too. Could ruin the entire thing for all I know. Stealing devices or finding lost or misplaced ones. I think that's very important to talk about here quickly too, because of the fact that you might not know where your device is at any given time. I know there's a lot of people with different disabilities, and I said the same thing there. There are people who can see that have other disabilities. You have to find your own way to understand where your stuff is, especially when you carry your laptop or phone or anything else that might be of value to a thief. They can access anything that you've ever logged into without you knowing it. Sadly, there's nothing you can do about the following. It's no less serious, but now attacking the organizations you interact with is now becoming a problem. If you can use something like PayPal, that would be better. But if you can't, you know, do the best you can. Monitor your statements. Make sure there isn't anything out of the ordinary, especially after you spend a ton of money at a merchant, even a reputable one. They're no perfect at security. In fact, Target was the first major breach that was covered way back in 2014. They're not the only ones today. Search for breach on the internet, and between me and the rest of the internet, you'll find a ton of information. There were 1,473 reported corporate breaches in 2019, which is up 17% year on year, according to this article. Harvesting card details is definitely up now. Capital One, for example, has a service called Eno, which works similarly to privacy.com, where after installing the browser extension, it will automatically offer you a credit card number tied to your account and tied to that merchant. I looked at Eno and saw that it wasn't safe, according to what I saw on Firefox. Now, I'm not saying they aren't safe at all. They just haven't had a reason to update, probably. And they say if you trust it, you can install it. But this is what it is. And I'm not saying that it's bad, good, or indifferent because I never did install it. Capital One emailed me directly about it. The web skimming increased 26% in March as more user people got online in March. Those are the 8 particular things that I wanted to bring up. There's more. In fact, the article goes into a lot more detail where the FBI has taken away quite a large amount of fraudulent and dangerous pharmaceutical stuff. And there's a whole lot of other pieces of data that we could go into. The COVID-19 challenge isn't going to be done anytime soon. We have phone calls that come in that could say they're from various agencies like the World Health Organization and other organizations that might be able to give you COVID-19 data. Sadly, there may be scams in this field wanting to get your personal information. They want to infect your PC and get at your data by any means possible. They claim to have new information in regards to outbreaks, vaccines, and more. I've seen some of these even at tech@menvie.org. It's gotten so bad now that they're offering me PPEs by sending me an email to tech@menvie.org. This is a technology blog. We don't collect personal information, and I do this out of the comfort of my home office. I don't have, people that work for me, and I don't have any reason to have anybody work for me at my home office. They'll try to sell counterfeit or non-existent products or even things that are harmful. The article is well worth the read, but I feel that even though this podcast and the Security Box may be different in other ways, some of this information can be covered in different ways where we can have a shorter version of this for the Tech Podcast, a longer version with questions, comments, etc. for the Security Box, and we'll continue to do the best we can to cover as much as we can on how to keep each other safe during COVID-19 and National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I will continue with more of the podcast. In fact, National Federation of the Blind released version 3 of their application, Newsline. That's coming up as the Tech Podcast continues. This is Podcast 353, and I am Jared Reimer. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Well, I said I was going to talk about the NFB app, and I plan to. I had taken a look at it, and people were like, I don't like the layout of the app. We have to use the page navigation to go where we want. The 3-finger swipe to the right or left. I'm sitting there going, you know what? I don't know anything about the app, and at the time I didn't. But I opened it and took a look. and I scanned an envelope that was in the mail. And it did a pretty decent job of it. And when I went to that page, it asked if I could access the camera. And I went back a page and I found that it had my favorites and other publications and things. And I thought, you know, I kind of did like the other way myself. I mean, everything was sort of on one screen, but I'm not going to trash them on putting something in that could benefit a lot of readers. And it's not a big thing. It's not a big version of KNFB Reader. It's a small version. It's enough to take photos of any documents that you have and be done with it. I didn't see any options to save in my initial look. People can tell me whether there is or isn't. There wasn't really anything fancy to it. And to be honest, if I had no Prismo and I didn't buy KNFB Reader at $74, or I didn't buy VoiceDream Scanner for, I think it's $6. Herbie recommended I buy VoiceDream Scanner. And I've got Seeing AI, which can also do document scanning. So I've got plenty of apps to choose from, and if I'm in KNFB Reader, and it turns out that I go down and get the mail while it's reading me the newspaper, I don't see why I couldn't decide to say to myself, you know what? Self, this app has KNFB Reader Lite. I don't need to switch apps. I'll just take a picture of my mail and I'll utilize that. Now, would I go to KNFB Reader by default? Probably not. Maybe I could just use KNFB regular. Maybe I could decide to use Seeing AI or even Prismo. I don't know. They've been telling me I ought to upgrade to Prismo 5. I don't know why I need to download yet another app. Why didn't they just update that version? Sonos did that. They actually changed apps and retired the old one. Turned out that my speaker downstairs, which is currently playing my channel, was compatible. I tested it out and it seems to work, and I deleted the old one. And it's all good. But why would I, why can't they just use the same apps? Why do they do that? Just continue to update it with new features and retire it from older iOS versions. And if you can't support your older systems anymore, then tell people, this is the last version that'll work with systems older than this date. I mean, I understand, I suppose, with Sonos why they did that, but with a scanning app, why would I want to pay more money to get the next version of the app? I think they've been the only ones that do that. But I'm glad I have choice. There is a good reason to have choice. People aren't going to want to use one over another. And if it turns out that I've decided, you know what, I don't want Prismo anymore. I don't want to worry about it. I've got the KNFB app. If I'm in Newsline and I need to scan something, I'll use that. I've got Seeing AI. If it's that bad, and I've got Voice Dream Reader and Scanner, and if I've got it so bad that I really have a hard time with it, I've got options like Be My Eyes, and I've got the other as well. I've got the paid version of Ira. That's what I was thinking of. I cheated and went and gone and looked. But I've got options. And I'm happy to have them. And I think we all should be happy with the options that we have available to us and use what we have depending on what we're doing and everything else. Sure, Newsline got revamped with this new thing. But you're either going to get used to it or you're going to get rid of it. Because I did test it out with one of the envelopes that was on my table. I definitely did. Definitely did check that out. It worked well enough. So, those are my thoughts on the topic of KNFB and what they're doing, the options I have available to me. Has anyone used KNFB from the Newsline app, and how did it work for you? Because it seemed to do well enough for me for what I did testing wise. So, I find technology quite interesting. I'm going to change gears completely. I'm not going to talk about security. I'm not going to talk about necessarily iOS. Not as a whole, anyway. But I'm going to talk about Google. Now, I've got a Google device here, and I have used it to check the weather as such. Hey Google, what's the weather?
Right now, it's 65 degrees and partly cloudy. Today, it will be partly cloudy with a forecasted high of 93 and a low of 61.
Alright, I have used it to set timers when I cook my food. For example, the fish goes in the oven for 20 minutes. I have other timers to remind me of specific events. I have a LiveWire event that I'm going to on the 17th, and I wanted to be reminded about that by setting a timer early enough so I could just go over there. And I think I have another one that's supposed to go off at a specific time for something. Oh yes, I do know. I do remember what that's for. It's for a meeting. So, I do use it. But Michael in Tennessee taught me something cool. Now, I didn't know that it could connect to Bluetooth devices. And he said, why don't you connect your Google to your phone? I said, I can. So, I got to thinking, you know, I have those two speakers over there that I haven't really been able to use since my 11. I kind of feel bad for bringing them, but I did use them and they did me well. I'll keep them around. I'm sure that if somebody said, do you have a pair of speakers I could use? And I could show them those, and if they want them, they can have them. But I thought learning this would be quite interesting for the podcast. So right now, if I say, hey Google, what's the volume?
The volume is currently set to 30%.
Now that's all well and good. If I need to turn it up, I can tell it. But if I do, hey Google, connect to Bluetooth.
Sure, looking for paired devices.
And then,
Bluetooth is connected to iPhone.
When it connected the first time, it said, look in your Bluetooth settings for office speaker. Now that's what my device is called. My office is on a higher level than the rest of my apartment, called a loft. And so that's where I am most of the time. And I've got a notebook with stuff. I've got Braille materials all around me and plenty of recording to do for the independent channel of a lot of artists that I've recently spotlighted so that the independent channel can have more. And of course I have other recording that I can be doing too. So this is sort of my work area. Well, since Michael in Tennessee taught me this, I can now pick up my phone and do this.
Two notifications. Twitter, 5 minutes ago. LastPass retweeted. At Twitter, coming up this Thursday, we have a special panel discussion on hashtag cybersecurity with Lowport at Spear Blog at Padres Jet at NetLab and at UGEL. Read details on attack and defense. A special podcast at bit. ly/2HCRPV0. This event is hashtag sponsored by NL. Sports. 7 minutes ago. FSU legend Bowden tests positive. Hall of Fame coach Bobby Bowden. He turns 91 next month. Said he's not experiencing any symptoms. Try again. Twitter, 6 minutes ago. LastPass.
And if I were to play a game like Popcorn Tycoon, I could have it on my speaker up here. I could take my phone and answer kernels and so forth. Now, I'm not going to demo a whole lot.
Try again. Line is folder.
But let's show you the volume. Hey, Google, what's the volume?
The volume is currently set to 30%.
Productivity folder. Four apps. Productivity folder. Four apps.
Hey Google, what's the volume?
The volume is currently set to 43%.
So you control it via your phone. And so now,
productivity settings. Setting air Wi-Fi at Bluetooth cellular button. Bluetooth on button. Bluetooth. My office speaker connected button.
There's my office speaker.
More info. name, office speaker, button, name, office speaker, button, disconnect, button, forget this device, button.
So, for purposes, let's tell it to forget this device.
Forget device, button, cancel, button, forget device, button. Settings, back button. To pair an Apple Watch with your iPhone, in progress, heading, now to Bluetooth, on.
I did that by default.
App switcher, settings.
Hey Google, connect Bluetooth.
Okay, looking for paired devices. Sorry, I can't connect to Bluetooth. Please try again later or connect via the Bluetooth settings page for your device.
Alright, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. I'll turn it off. Hey Google, connect Bluetooth.
Sure, looking for paired devices. Sorry, I can't connect to Bluetooth or connect via the Bluetooth settings page for your device.
853.
All right.
Productivity folder, four apps. Page 1 of 4, bookmarks folder, page 1 of 4, adjustable. Page 2 of 4, Google Apps folder, 4 apps. Google Apps, Drive, Google Home.
I wanted to actually show you all how that worked.
Media, button, set up duo calls, button, dismiss, button. Jared's home, heading, office, one device, office speaker, button.
There's office speaker.
Pop up, 43%, adjustable. 43% adjustable.
Hey Google, set the volume to 3.
43%, volume 43%, volume, 40, not playing, office speaker, more options, but office speaker, head, not playing, settings, but sound settings, but linked accounts, drive, name, office speaker, but home, Jared's home, but room, office, but group, none added, but Wi-Fi, at 7C6, digital well-being. Filters, sound settings, heading, equalizer, bass, group delay correction, zero, device settings, heading, default speaker, office speaker, button, default TV, button, alarms and timers, adjust, night mode, off, do not disturb, off, button, accessibility, start sound off, and sound off, paired Bluetooth devices, enable pairing mode, button, back, button, iPhone, 55%, 50%, 60%, added 9/29, enable pairing mode, button, enable pairing mode, button, ready to pair, connect to office speaker with Bluetooth.
Okay, so.
Enable pairing mode, button.
I had to go in and so what I had to do now is go in and change it because it knows about my iPhone. So now,
Google.
It's listening.
Extras folder, 5 app settings.
So now,
Bluetooth on button. Bluetooth. Office speaker button.
There's the office speaker. By default, when you say connect Bluetooth to the first time,
office speaker connecting.
And now it's connected. But what I wanted to try and demo, which didn't work because the app knew about my iPhone. So, that's why it took me a little bit longer to do this. But for the first time, it actually told me, look for office speaker in your Bluetooth.
Office speaker, connected, button. Actions available. To pair an app, Virginia's MacBook Pro 2, button. Virginia's MacBook Pro 2, button.
Now, I'm not going to connect to that Mac Pro. I'm not going
to
do it.
To pair an Apple Watch with your iPhone, go to the Apple Watch app. Link, app switcher, Google Home. Settings, active, app switcher, Google Home, active. Google. iPhone, added 9/29/20. Added 10/5/20.
So I added it 9/29, and then I added it again 10/5. I mainly wanted to show you how it works.
Enable pairing mode, button. Added 10/5/20, back. Button. Close. Button. Default TV. Button. Learn more. Button. Switch button. Up. Flip LEDs and volume control when changing position or mounting vertically. Preview program. Up. Wait. Pair Bluetooth device. Accessibility. Pair Bluetooth devices. Enable pairing mode. Button. Pair Bluetooth devices. Enable pairing mode. Button. Back. Button. Enable pairing mode. Button. Unable to enable. Unable to enable device pairing. Heading. Okay. Button.
Well, that's because it's already set. That's all right.
Back. Button. Add a 10/5/ iPhone. iPhone. Back. Button.
But I thought it was so cool.
Do not disturb. Pop. Button. App switcher. Google Home. App setting.
And I thought this would be a great thing to talk about on this podcast. A little bit different. And yes, I know I probably should have done this the first day that I learned about it, but I wanted to check it out first. And it's an awesome ordeal. Now I can actually...
Broadcasters make one notification. Sports. Now, broadcasters make that mask mandate. We're good boys. Though, NBC's Al Michaels said about St. Clair's rule. We're going to get lollipops at the end of the game tonight. Apostrophe.
And you can actually hear that I got a sports alert, and I'm sure it's pretty clear too. Hey Google, what's the volume?
The volume is currently set to 43%.
So.
One notification, 8:58. Sports, now. Broadcasters
make
that mask mandate. We're good boys.
Go. I mean, it's awesome. I can read without having it listen to my phone, although when I get a phone call, it's not telling me who's calling me like I think it should, but that goes directly to the phone anyhow. So there's a little bit I don't like about it, but I thought for the podcast, why not do a little demo, and if I disconnect it and tell it to forget it, then I'll figure out how to put it back. But the long or the short of it is, it's an awesome little trick. Thank you, Michael in Tennessee. That was a lot of fun to learn. October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. What topics would you like to see blogged about? On a prior version of the Security Box, we talked about a very interesting article from Fish Labs, who is an APWG member. The APWG is the Anti-Phishing Working Group. And they posted its phishing activities trend report, which analyzes trends. And what was interesting about it was that SSL abuse continues. And we've talked on this podcast about the SSL. Right? We've talked about SSL. We've talked about what it is. The SSL is the standard where certificates are used to tell a website to connect securely without giving you a whole bunch of problems. So, actors don't really want their particular sites to have problems. So they're going to use these tools to get themselves secure. And what fascinates me about this is that we are now in an era where this group is saying, don't rely on SSL or TLS to have yourself being secure. Without going through the entire article, my belief is that by the next time this agency gives out this report, if the current trend now is 74% of websites are SSL secured, 27 of them using other means. I mean, without going into all of these details, and for this podcast, it doesn't honestly matter. I talked about this in great detail on the Security Box, and I've linked to it there, and I want to actually write about it in bigger detail in a thought post, because if these stats are any indication, then by this time next year, we're going to be at nearly 100% compliance. And for those who listen to this podcast, can you understand what that means? That means every website will be secure, even the actors. Unique campaigns are consistent. That's a heading. Most targeted industries is talked about.
Sports. LeBron. Notifications. Sports.
I mean, there's a lot of information here. We still have BEC. We still have a lot more problems. And the thing is they want you to believe that. Free webmail providers are definitely a target. I don't like webmail anymore. Never really liked webmail. I mean, just think about it. You're using the web to check your mail. Why don't you just use an email client? I still have somebody using Yahoo. I know somebody else that has Yahoo. No, I'm not going to tell you to switch. No. I'm not going to do that. That is your prerogative to use it. But I wouldn't use Yahoo today. Gmail? If I didn't have my domain, I would be using Gmail as my email address. Michael Indiana was talking about how they did him wrong when he traveled to Colorado to see somebody. And he didn't know why he couldn't connect to check email. And come to find out that because he was connecting using a different IP, they locked the account to make sure it was somebody authentic that's using it. I think that's awesome. And I'm sorry that he experienced that. But no other provider does that. You know? What I want to emphasize from this talk is the following. Under SSL, abuse continues to skyrocket. Fish Labs, who's an APWG contributing member, tracked the increased use of SSL certificates on phishing sites. They abused the HTTPS certificates to enhance compromised sites by tricking internet users believing the site is secure. The number now, which is what I'm going to leave you with, is 80%. Almost 80% used SSL certificate during quarter two, meaning that users should not attribute the certificate as an indicator of safe browsing. I'm going to leave you with that thought. It is something we need to be concerned about because, as I said on the security box, we we have big problems now. And if it's any indication when they do this report in the next quarter, we are going to be looking at numbers somewhere around 90%, and by the second quarter, of next year, if not the first quarter, but some point next year, we are going to be at full 100% actors using SSL. There's just no way around it. And that's a problem. Because when I started on the internet, they made it known when we moved to Windows and we were able to check the URLs and SSL was becoming more prominent, they said, check the URL, and if it says HTTPS, you're on a safe site. And only a small percentage of phishing sites and sites that can get your average user into trouble was using SSL. Now, the new term is actually called TLS, but SSL and TLS are interchangeable. It's either going to be SSL 3 or TLS 1.2, but the long or the short of it is that you're still seeing HTTPS on your browser. When you go to LiveWire, for example, you go to LiveWireUSA.net or LiveWire.us, both websites work. When you do that, it goes to HTTPS. LiveWire's maintainer updated the certificate to TLS 1.2. In doing so, Internet Explorer won't work with the website. And reports indicated that Edge didn't work. But I believe it does now. all of the major browsers should be able to support TLS 1.2. It's the most secure to date. 1.3 is out. And it wouldn't surprise me if these actors were using these latest standards. It's just something to think about, folks. The talk is a little bit different than the way I presented this on the security box. But as the National Cybersecurity Awareness Month goes, it's something you've got to think about when you connect to your websites of choice that you use every day. I don't care that you use Yahoo and Checkmail over there. I don't check mail using webmail specifically. I've got Gmail connected to Thunderbird and my phone. That's how I want to do it. But what I would recommend is if you are using Yahoo or some other third party webmail, if it supports two-factor, I'd turn it on. I don't know if that can be done using the services I use with jaredreimer.net. But it's definitely something I should ask. Because I at least have one person using webmail on my network, which is fine, but it can be cumbersome. Enough of my rambling about this. I want to hear what you have to say in regards to SSL. So get in touch with me at tech, that's T-E-C-H at menvi.org, and let me know what you think of the emerging trends of 80% SSL or TLS for threat actor sites. And what do you see in the future? Let's talk. That's going to do it, everybody. The podcast is going to be under an hour, and it's all good. Lots of different thoughts on this edition of the program. And, of course, I'll be back with another edition of the program real soon. And remember, National Cybersecurity Awareness Month is here. What can you learn to make your security better than what it was within the past year? Here's my contact information. Email and iMessage tech, that's T-E-C-H at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. And feel free to continue to check out the blog. We're going to be doing a lot of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month posts. And while I have seen posts specifically on LastPass talking about LastPass, instead of doing something like that, I can take what they write and formulate something of my own, as I don't think LastPass is the only option. They've got a lot of features, sure, but there may be a password manager out there that you might want to check out, as the whole goal is getting yourself as secure as possible. And we'll talk about that in future podcasts as NCSAM continues. So, feel free to check out the blog on a regular basis to see what I have cooked up. I may not necessarily link to any particular article or another, but just reading a couple of LastPass posts made me think about how I could tackle the password thing without tying it to one particular manager over another. And of course, the ultimate goal is what works best for you and your needs. So we'll continue to tackle all of this between this podcast and the Security Box. And I hope you'll continue to stick around for more great content.